all of you for having me here. It is a privilege that is mine as well. Have you ever gone through a time of personal darkness? One of those days where you're not sure how you're going to make it through the next hour, to the next day, the next week, or maybe even through the next year. A time when the world keeps spinning around you, but you have no idea if life will ever be normal again. Without much hesitation, I can say that all of us in this room have probably had at least one of those times in our lives. Whether it was the death of a loved one, a natural disaster, hearing the news on 9/11, or some other tragedy, we've all had a time when we're not sure if things will ever be the same again. For me, one of those moments was a night as a boy when my dad came home, having once again gambled away most of the money that my mom had given him to buy groceries for me and my two older brothers and for the house. Understandably, she got angry. It was the last straw for her. This was not the first time. And that night, my mom forced my dad out of our home. As a 7-year-old, I had no idea how to process the emotions that were going on in my head. I remember my mom trying to comfort me, but how will you comfort someone processing that much emotion? How will you offer hope in a moment of darkness? In a congregation this size, I imagine that there is at least one of you who is struggling through some form of darkness right now. For the rest of us, fears and uncertainties still press on us almost daily. The economy continues to struggle. Will I have a job next week? When will the next tragedy strike? And if not us, then someone we know is suffering and in a time of darkness. Thankfully, this time of year reminds us of hope. We've just come through Christmas. Even this week, we've started a new year. Many of us may have made New Year's resolutions on how this year will be better than last. We have a hope, but what are we hoping in? And is that hope evident in our lives? With the passages for tonight, we get a little bit of a look at a light that shines in the darkness. With the Isaiah passage, we look back on a prophecy spoken to a people that at that time were facing a great darkness. And moving into the New Testament passages clarify that prophecy for us and help us understand. And it also indicates our role in the ongoing story. So walk with me through today's passages. When Isaiah's messages were written, enemy nations were on the doorstep, threatening to conquer the nation of Israel. In fact, the northern nation, Israel, had already been overtaken. The Assyrians had already come in, captured the towns, and carried the people off to various parts of the world. Isaiah was offering a warning to those that remained in the southern part of the nation. And addressing them, he told them that the reason that the people in the north had been exiled was that they had forgotten their God. But even in the midst of his warning, Isaiah knew that those in southern Israel weren't going to learn or change, but they were destined for exile as well. A time of darkness, surely. Imagine that you were going to be told that you were going to lose your home, that someone was going to take in and take it from you and remove you from it. But not only that, your home was going to be burned to the ground. If you were lucky, you might be able to take a few possessions with you. But then you were going to be taken to a foreign country where you don't know the language, where you might not even be near someone who knows your language. And that may sound a little strange to us in the relative peace that we've had in America. But that's not true elsewhere. My wife and I are part of a team that is helping a refugee family in North Dallas, a team from our church. This family from the Middle East became political enemies. And so they left their home country and spent 6 years in a second country before being given refugee status in the Dallas area. We met another family a few weeks ago that, after leaving their home country, spent 25 years somewhere else before they were granted refugee status here as well. Throughout Africa and Asia today, hundreds of thousands are living in refugee camps, without a home, without a life, and in a time of that type of darkness. It's not that strange, after all. If you were in that situation, would you want some hope? Would you want to have just a shred of evidence that things were going to be okay? Isaiah trusted the earlier promises of God from 2 Samuel, from Psalm 72 tonight that we've already read. And he didn't leave Israel just with this foreboding darkness that they were going to be in exile, but he offered them hope. Our Old Testament passage for tonight says that a light would shine, and there would be a glory in Israel that would draw people and nations and wealth. Not leaving home, but being home and having others come. Foreign kings and nations would come to this light. Although darkness covers the earth, there is hope. Moving forward into our gospel passage, perhaps you're questioning why the Nativity is still out, why we read a passage about the three Magi coming from the east. I mean, hasn't Christmas already passed? Weren't the Magi at the stables? Contrary to the typical Nativity scene, that the Magi were never at the stables. According to Matthew 2:11, Joseph and Mary, by the time the Magi has come, are in a house in Bethlehem or somewhere. And in Matthew 2:16, with Herod giving the command to kill all of the male children ages 2 and younger, the baby Jesus was at least 1 or 2 years old before the Magi actually arrived. Now, I don't advise getting rid of the wise men from your nativity set. They play a crucial part. But maybe instead of the current fad of Elf on the Shelf, there's another game you could play. Start the Magi out on the other side of the house, and during Advent, slowly move them closer. And use that as an opportunity to explain to your family and friends what the Magi were looking for. As with any Old Testament prophecy, it's appropriate to ask if it has been fulfilled. Isaiah gives us this promise of a light. The passage in Matthew helps us uncover that a little. January 6th, which is tomorrow, is the traditional day that Christians around the world remember this visit. But what has made it so significant? Why should we, 2,000 years later, pay attention to these three mysterious men bringing gifts to Jesus? Admittedly, this is a new question for me. I come from a non-denominational church background. My wife and I have only been in the Anglican Episcopal world for about 2 years now. I had no idea what a liturgical calendar really was or looked like. I knew the word Advent, had no idea what it meant. And so with this tradition, with Epiphany, I was able to ask and start asking questions. What is this about? And the reasons for it are significant. Consider these three connections between the passage in Matthew and Isaiah. First, these men were guided to Jesus by a light from a star. A special God-ordained light that shone upon Israel in a very special way. Isaiah promised a light and a hope. And a light guided these wise men to Christ. Second, the Magi were not Jewish. They were Gentiles, perhaps even kings, since the hymn that we often sing at Christmas time, "We Three Kings from Orient Are," a tradition that began in the 2nd century. Isaiah had said that kings and nations would come to this light. They would be drawn to it. And Matthew lets us peek through the curtain a little bit to see these first people coming, the Gentiles coming to Christ. And third, the gifts of gold and frankincense, especially of the three gifts, are specifically in Isaiah's passage in verse 6. That gold, frankincense, and myrrh, or gold and frankincense, would be brought by these kings and nations. At Epiphany, churches around the world remember the divine manifestation of Jesus Christ. The story of the Magi in Matthew helps us understand Isaiah's light, revealing that it is Jesus Christ who is the light that brings hope to the world and who draws people to himself. In a world full of darkness, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is a source of hope that still shines. So Isaiah spoke of a light in the darkness. Matthew tells us that Isaiah's light was Christ himself. But still you may wonder, how does that affect you and me today? Why are these texts important to the modern church? Let me reread some of the verses from the Ephesians passage, verses 7 to 10. "If of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities." What is the gospel? According to Paul in verse 7, the gospel is that everyone who believes in Jesus Christ shares in the promises that had been given to the Jewish people. At Epiphany, we recognize that the manifestation of the God-man Jesus Christ is no longer a mystery. The light has been revealed to us. Isaiah had said that kings and nations would come to that light, and for the last 2,000 years, men and women from around the world have recognized Christ as the light and hope and have come to him. I chose that translation that I just read specifically because of the phrase, "to bring to light." The use of the word "light" by Paul in this passage once again connects us back to the Isaiah passage, a light for the world. But the light of Christ doesn't spread on its own. If we put a lamp in a window, it will illumine our room, and it may shine out the window and illumine the yard, and you may be able to see the light from down the street. But the person down the street themselves are still in darkness. They are not surrounded by the light. They do not feel its warmth. Paul had the light and recognized that he was given the ability to take it and spread it to the non-Jewish people of his day. But Paul was only one man. And though his writings influence us in the church today, he is no longer spreading the gospel himself. So the question remains, what is the role for you and I in the church today? According to verse 10 of Ephesians 3, one of the functions of the church is to proclaim the mystery, the light of the gospel, the hope of the world, through Jesus Christ to the world. The church, meaning each of us individually, but also collectively together as a parish and as a broader global church, must shine the light of Christ into the world. Our world is still in darkness. As I mentioned when I started this message, some of you are in a time of darkness right now. If so, I encourage you to remember that Christ is the light that gives you hope. That doesn't remove the pain. It doesn't remove the confusion. But Isaiah's prophecy about Christ does not end with the identity of Christ being the light. Our hope isn't alone in the baby Jesus that the Magi sought, but in the Jesus who is King and is coming again. That is our hope. That this world, in its current darkness, is not all there is. Do you know that light and are currently living in a season of peace and light? And then rejoice. But I will ask you, what about your friends or your family? Your neighbors or coworkers? Are they perhaps in darkness? Others in this room that you know who need to be reminded if they are in darkness. We all know someone who is suffering. We all know someone who is wondering how they will make it through that next day or hour or week. My thoughts go to a coworker of mine who, within this last week, as his wife had a hysterectomy, they found the beginning traces of uterine cancer. And although he knows that Christ is his light, they will need to be reminded of that as they go through the challenges of the next few months. Isaiah indicated a light would come that would shine through the darkness, a light that draws people into its presence. Matthew's passage about the wise men identifies Christ as the long-expected light of the world. After his conversion, Paul's entire life was devoted to making known the manifestation of Christ, his light, to as many people as he could reach. If you do not know that light, I encourage you to talk to Father Kincaid, to have any questions that you have be answered, that he can counsel you and help you through a time of darkness. If you know that light, if Christ is your source of hope for both today and tomorrow and for eternity, then I ask you, are you spreading his light into this dark world? It was 9 years after my parents got divorced before someone brought me this light. As I entered my sophomore year of high school, a friend's parents offered to drive 5 miles out of the way to pick me up and take me to church where I could hear of this light. I needed that light. We all need that light. Jesus Christ is the only hope for this world. So I challenge you to identify someone that you know today who needs that light and to share the light of Christ with them. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.